of smiles in town hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salivatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Salivatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian, Fred Allen. Music with Peter Van Steeden. New features, new music, new laughs. It's Town Hall tonight! Ah, listen to that crowd cheer Fred Allen as he heads his weekly parade to the Old Town Hall. Fred's leading the band with an inner tune, followed by those flat tires of the drama, the mighty Allen R. Player. Let's join that happy throng. Everybody's going! Everybody's going! Here they come. Father.
If you're a bad girl, Minnie, I'll send you to bed.
I'll be good, Daddy, because I gotta listen to the radio. It's Town Hall tonight.
Etiquette, students.
Does the man or the lady turn on the radio, Miss Pose?
Etiquette says everyone for himself on Wednesdays. It's Town Hall tonight.
I didn't forget nothing, honey. I got the ring, the license, the furniture.
And I've got the radio in my hope chest, darling. It's Town Hall tonight.
Well, here we are inside the Old Town Hall. And Peter raises the curtain with Latin Quarter.
So this is Gay Pally. Come on along with me. Stepping out to see the Latin Quarter. Put on your old beret, let's sing the Marseillaise, and put our wine away like water. And are you in the mood to have some Latin food? And have you ever wooed a Latin daughter? Hooray for Lafayette, hooray for Crepe Suzette. If you ain't at one yet, you oughta. Come on and party. That's all the Frenchmen sing. That's how they have their thing. That's how the Frenchmen swing the Latin Quarter. They're 50 million strong and they can all be wrong. Let's all ooh-la-la-la. Ooh-la-la-la, ooh-la-la-la, ooh-la-la-la.
Presenting that ambidextrous antique, ad-libbing on Dante aphorisms, articulating a la carte axioms, alkalizing anemic absurdities, Allentine's affable Aesop, adversity's amiable askew ball, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You mustn't yell so loud, Andre. You woke me up. You see, now, I generally talk in my sleep through the whole hour. Now you woke me up, I don't know what's apt to happen. Well, here it is, June 1st, and what is so rare as a day in June unless it's a new joke on a radio program? And while we're trying to think up a new joke for this evening, I'll read you the Town Hall Bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, the first grocer to ever put bifocal cellophane on apple pie so that nearsighted customers could see what the lower crust looks like, has a special announcement. Hodge is calling your attention to his little dandy soda siphon, folks. Now, Hodge says people are using soda siphons to make everything but soda these days, and his little dandy's got them all beat. Now, if you want whipped cream, you just pour your cream in the siphon, put in a cartridge, press the lever, and you've got a mess of whipped cream that'll flood a bathtub. Hodge says you can put 2 pounds of rump steak in a little dandy, and it'll spray out 6 helpings of the finest beef stew you've ever tasted. Or break 3 eggs in your little dandy siphon, squirt into a frying pan, and in a jiffy, you've got an omelet with a head on it. So much for pay-as-you-spray bargains. And now for the Town Hall news. The curtain, Andre.
Coming right down, Fred.
Pick your mustache up. It's hanging down over your other lip. The lights go out, and we've got enough whiskers on the jokes without having whiskers on the actors. The lights go out again. Are they out? I can't tell. Oh, thank you. And we bring you the latest news of the week.
The town hall news. Sees nothing. You'll find out. Indianapolis, Indiana. Dr. E. Wallace McAdam, professor of medicine at the New York Homeopathic College, in a recent speech at Indiana Institute, said that the average businessman works too hard, rests too little, and eats too much. Town Hall News questions the man in the street to get his opinion on high-pressure life in modern business. Mr. Crandall Strum, a businessman, says,
"The average businessman may be working too hard and sleeping too little, but the way business is, he sure ain't eating too much. They tell me things are so bad down on Wall Street, the heads of them companies is eating vice presidents."
Really?
Which way is it, WPA, bud?
Any direction you come to it. Miss Carrie Plates, a waitress, says,
"I don't think businessmen is eating too much. It's they're eating too fast.
Uh-huh.
I served a guy today a businessman's lunch. Oxtail gumbo, veal cutlet, and blanc menage."
Blanc menage?
Huh?
Well, did he eat fast, Miss Plates?
Fast? This guy ate like an acid. He dumped his veal cutlet.
Wait, Miss Plates. Things happen, you know. You say funny things, and there's a certain reaction occasionally crops up. We must be prepared at all times for... Yes.
This guy, he dumped his veal cutlet into the oxtail gumbo, he put the blanc menage on top, and poured his demi-tasse over the whole business.
Well, how did he eat it?
With rye bread.
With rye bread. Well, that's better than the knife and fork at times, of course.
Uh-huh. I says, "You must be in the hardware business, mister, by the way you're bolting that grub."
Did he laugh?
I don't know. I was busy mixing his bicarbonate.
Oh, I see. Well, thank you, Miss Plates.
Why, some of them businessmen eat so fast, before the echo dies down from their soup, they're finishing up their dessert.
Well, thank you very much.
You know, most of them guys can't keep nothing on their stomachs but an elk's tooth.
Well, a little bicustard is better than nothing,
well,
after all.
Well, I don't know.
Well, it's a matter to be argued out, but I haven't the time now. And thank you very much, Miss Plates. Dr. Tweaker Pulse, prominent medico in a business section, says,
"Most American businessmen are burning the candle at both ends. I treated a businessman this morning. He was trying to take poison, but his hand shook so much, he kept missing his mouth with the bottle. I quieted his nerves, and 2 hours later, he was able to jump out of a window."
Thank you, doctor. To prove that the businessman today leads too hectic an existence, Town Hall News shows a typical day in the life of an average businessman. Promptly at 9 a.m., he arrives at the office. Instantly, he becomes a veritable tornado of activity.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Where's my mail?
Right here.
My dictograph ready?
Yes.
Who left this phone number?
Your Aunt Minnie.
Get ready for dictation and get me long distance.
Yes, Mr. Jones.
Take a letter.
Yes, Mr. Jones.
Mr. A.A. Care, Watch McCall Company. Dear sir, signed D.D.J., President of Hoosers Corporation. Put the letter in and get it out at once.
Yes, Mr. Jones.
Stick your tongue out. I want to wet this stamp.
Oh.
Thank you. Hello, no. Hello, yes. Hello, maybe. Gad, what a day. Buzz for Russo.
Yes, Mr. Jones.
Yes, Mr. Jones?
You're fired, Russo.
Yes, Mr. Jones.
Well, it's 12 o'clock. I'm off to lunch.
Goodbye, Mr. Jones.
The businessman rushes out to lunch and into the nearest restaurant.
Your order, Mr. Jones.
Creamy consomme, kidney pie, fritter, and coffee.
Here you are, Mr. Jones.
Where's my check?
Aren't you going to eat your lunch?
I haven't got time to eat it. I just want to look at it. Goodbye.
Lunch over, the businessman rushes back to his office to plunge pell-mell into the afternoon hurly-burly.
Afternoon?
Good afternoon, Mr. Jones.
Show that salesman in.
Yes, sir. Hurry, please.
Ajax Whalebone Company, Mr. Jones.
Don't dawdle.
Shall I open my sample case?
I'm too busy. Set it in front of this x-ray machine.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll take 2 gross of those 37s, 1 gross of these 24s.
Yes, Mr. Jones.
Good day.
London calling Transatlantic, Mr. Jones.
Okay, hello? Yes, Neville. Check.
4 o'clock, time for your aspirin.
You take it, I'm too busy.
Yes, Mr. Jones.
Call a conference.
Yes, Mr. Jones. Conference, come and get it.
Yes, D.D.
Yes, D.D.
Memo, check. Eye to eye.
Soul to heel.
Check. Memo, contact.
Confirmation.
Close deal. Cut expenses. Check.
Memo.
Okay. Can, what a day.
Leaving, Mr. Jones?
Yes, where's my hat?
On your head.
My wife will find it. Good night.
Oh, careful, Mr. Jones. The door's over there.
I'm late. Anybody calls, tell them I went this way.
And that is why today so many businessmen are found jumping out of windows.
They can't wait to get both feet on the ground. And the moral, kiddies, is take it easy. Just because your business has gone to, well, there's no reason why you should be in a hurry to join it. Good night, kiddies. New York City, New York. City Council Committee on General Welfare holds a hearing to investigate charges that certain tavern owners are practicing deception in the size of whiskey and cocktail glasses. Complaints say that glasses are camouflaged with thick and magnifying glass to make them appear to hold twice the amount of spirits they actually contain. Town Hall News shows what it may come to if the content of cocktail glasses is gradually reduced. The scene, a cocktail bar.
Here, madam.
I'll have a martini, bartender.
One martini. Here you are, madam.
Thank you. Well, of all the nerve, bartender.
Yeah, madam.
What is this big, thick glass?
That's the new cocktail glass, madam.
The inside's no bigger than a thimble.
Yeah, madam. It just holds an olive.
But where's my cocktail?
Is your olive damp?
Yes.
That's your martini, madam.
New York City, New York. Ralph McAllister Ingersoll, publisher of Time, the weekly news magazine, announces that Time has taken over its contemporary weekly, the Literary Digest. Town Hall News interviews a member of the Time staff to check on this momentous transaction.
Is it true you've merged with the Literary Digest?
Yes.
Has your magazine any statement to make?
Yes. Time merges on.
London, England. Yehudi Menuhin, brilliant American violin maestro, marries beautiful Australian aspirin heiress at a simple ceremony held in Caxton Hall Register Office. Town Hall News presents candid camera shot of the wedding ceremony. The scene, a room at the Register Office.
Do you, Noli Ruby Nicholas, take Yehudi Menuhin to be your lawfully wedded spouse?
I do.
And do you, Yehudi Menuhin, take Nola Ruby Nicholas to be your lawfully wedded wife?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we've just found a little room on the program. Not room enough to swing a cat, mind you. There's just about space enough here to permit the Merry Macs to swing their first number. And the song is Oh Marie.
Love, I'm your slave forevermore. Love, you cast a spell on me. I've met the one girl I adore. Love, please don't tell on me. All my secret I beg of you, till I can see her and say all that my poor heart says to me. Through the livelong day, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, Marie, oh, Marie, there is no one but you, dear, for me. My heart's repeating each word you can hear in its beating. Oh, Marie, oh, Marie, fairest flower in all Italy. You for me, you for me. My heart keeps on repeating that I love you, dear. Oh, they're the words that you hear in its beating. Rock-de-da-da-da-da. Oh, Marie, oh, Marie. You're the fairest of flowers in all Italy. Don't you know that I'm begging on my bended knee?
Won't you hear my plea?
Marie, 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 won't you hear my plea? Won't you hear my plea, Marie?
Nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, psychologists say that if married couples with differences can be induced to discuss them before an impartial audience, the situation may clear itself up. Now, tonight, Mr. and Mrs. Bangs have kindly consented to volunteer. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Bangs.
It would take me from now
until... Take you, sure. Never give the other fellow an even break.
My mother warned me when
now,
I married
please,
you.
Please, now, please. One at a time and at six paces, if you don't mind. Now, what's your grievance, Mr. Bangs?
She has no control over the children. I sit down to breakfast some mornings feeling kind of under the weather, and those kids behave as though they were at a circus. All I want to know is, can something be done about it?
And Mrs. Bangs?
Well, my grievance is that he comes to the breakfast table so grouchy and irritable that everything upsets him. And I want to know, can't something be done about that?
Well, I think Andre Baruch can add a few words to this discussion that will prove of real benefit to both of
us. Yes, Fred, and to everyone else who starts the day off feeling grouchy and under par. Just drink a sparkling glass of Sal Hepatica to help you feel your best again quickly. Because the two things that usually cause a sluggish, headachy feeling are the two very things Sal Hepatica was especially made to get after. Accumulated wastes and gastric acidity. So get a bottle of Sal Hepatica from your nearest drugstore tomorrow. The next time you're under the weather, put two teaspoonfuls in a glass of water and drink it. When you see how soon your grouch is gone, your head is clearer, and your pep is back, you'll understand why so many physicians recommend Sal Hepatica. And why so many people like yourselves have found it to be an ideal laxative. Remember the name, Sal Hepatica.
Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours have just played the Wang Wang Blues. Peter, what's going on with your hair there? I just got to look. Yes, sir, Peter. Looks as though Pete washed his hair himself tonight, eh? Well, never mind, Pete. If you can't do a thing with your hair from washing it, try washing your legs sometime and see where they'll take you. It's interesting. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect to meet.
Well, whom do we not expect to encounter this evening?
Well, I'll tell you, Andre. I've been sort of worried about the modern dance lately. Dances change so rapidly today. You know, by the time I had mastered the Peabody, everybody was doing the Valencia. And by the time I got one leg up in the Valencia, people were already doing the one step.
Well, what dance are you up to now, Fred?
Well, I'm just putting the finishing touches on my Charleston, Andre. And as you know, everybody's shaggy. You know, it's about time I found out what's going on with the modern dance.
And you're going to talk to a dancer?
Yes, Andre. Our guest tonight is a dancer any professional dancer will tell you is the king of dancers. He's taught many of the popular stars today, and I'm going to take his word on anything that I might ask him about dancing. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect to meet Mr. John Boyle. Good evening, John Oak.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
Hey, wait a minute. Where do you get that Mr. Allen stuff? You know how long I've known you?
Now, wait a minute. I'm not that old, Fred.
Now, look, when I came to New York first back in 1914, you were dancing at the Winter Garden, right?
That's right, Fred.
The name of your act was Boylin' Brazil, and you were starring in the passing show.
You've got some memory, Fred.
Memory? Did you ever hear some of the jokes I dig up for this program? You know, elephants hide their heads as I pass by. But, John, New York has certainly changed since you came here from Wilkes-Barre and I came from Dorchester to test the patience of theatergoers.
Yes, when I first came here, Fred, the actors all lived down around 14th Street.
Well, 14th Street was quite a theatrical section in those days, wasn't it?
Yes, remember Tony Pastor's, the Dewey, Keith Union Square?
Well, that's a little before my day, John. By the time I got here, the theatrical boarding houses were all up on 38th Street, and the most popular theater was Hammerstein's.
Yes, in 1914, Hammerstein's was still going strong.
I arrived that year on the Fall River line. You know, John, when I sat at the captain's table coming over from Boston that night, I don't think he ever thought I'd make good.
What makes you think that, Fred?
Well, they kept the Fall River line running until last year, waiting for me to go back home. They could have used the business. But they finally gave up and turned the boats into lobster pots or something.
Where did you live when you first came to New York, Fred?
Well, I lived in a boarding house on 40th Street. Mrs. Monfort's, room and board, $1 a day.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah. I had a room in that joint, John. It was so small, if you were sleeping and somebody opened the doorknob got into bed with you. There was a cuckoo clock on the wall of that in that room. Every hour, I had to get up all night long and open the window so the cuckoo'd have some place to go.
You've come a long way since then, Fred.
Yes. In 1914, I was unemployed on 40th Street. And tonight, in 1938, I'm employed on 49th Street. I've come 9 blocks in 26 years. Say, but that's not bad with traffic the way it is today.
Well, it's pleasant to talk over old times, Fred, but I thought I was to be interviewed about dancing.
That's right, John. I thought maybe you could give us the lowdown on what is going on in the world of terpsichore.
What is it you'd like to know?
Well, tell me, when did people first start dancing?
Well, the Big Apple is mentioned in the Garden of Eden, or Paradise, you know.
I have a choice there with that line, I think. Yes, I guess. I guess dancing is as old as man.
It is, Fred, and it's interesting to watch dance styles change to reflect the tempo of life at different periods.
During the gay 90s, when people took things a little easier,
the waltz was popular.
And today, with people rushing from pillar to post-mortem,
we have more strenuous dances like the shag.
Oh, that shagging is nobody's business, John. I read about an elderly gentleman who walked out on the Florida nightclub one night last week. He started to shake and jump up and down. People thought the old gentleman was shagging. It was rigor mortis setting in.
Yes, it's hard to tell St. Vitus from the Susie Q today, Fred.
Well, regardless as to what goes on in the ballroom, the most popular form of dancing in vaudeville has always been buck dancing, hasn't it?
Yes, Fred, the buck and wing.
Where did the buck and wing come from?
The Negroes are supposed to have originated it down south.
They created an entire new style of dancing?
No, the form was taken from the old Irish reels and English clogs.
Buck dancing has a certain form, then.
That's right. At the end of every 6 bars, the dancer does what we call a break.
Say, do you think you could give us an idea of how the buck and wing came out of the reels and clogs? You can just illustrate the tempo with your hands on the table, if you will.
All right, the Irish reel went. Break.
That was the Irish reel, huh? Now, how did the clog go?
Something like this. Break.
Now, what does a buck routine made from the reel and the clog sound like?
The buck dance goes lump dum pum pum. Dum dum pum pum. Pum 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 pum. Break.
Say, that's swell. You remember when you had your school here and I started to take tap lessons from you?
Yes, and you were hopeless, Fred.
Hopeless? Well, never mind me. Who were some of your other pupils back in those days, John?
Oh, George Murphy, Joey Brown, Jimmy Cagney, Ginger Rogers, Ruby Keeler, Buddy Ebsen, Eleanor Powell.
Oh, pretty little Eleanor Powell. Whatever became of her, John?
I often wonder.
So do I. I've said to myself 1,000 times. Well, tell me, Johnny, with Vaudeville hiding around the corner to keep prosperity company, is there as much interest in this type of dancing as there was years ago?
More, Fred. Pictures have done a lot to stimulate interest in dancing.
Well, Johnny, they tell me you're so full of rhythm you can duplicate any dancing star's routine with your fingers.
That's right, Fred. Whose dance would you like to see?
Well, Bill Robinson's one of our best dancers. I wonder if you'd give us an idea of Bill's stair dance.
I'll be glad to, Fred.
Now, Mr. Boyle has a small doll, a miniature Bill Robinson, attached to his right hand here. There are little shoes on his two fingertips, a little flight of stairs on this tabletop, where the finger dance will be executed by Johnny Boyle. Are we ready, Johnny?
All set, Fred. Da-dum, da-dum, bum, bum.
A wing at the moment. Here he goes upstairs. Bill's getting along towards the finish now. Thank you. And now the town hall. I just noticed on Bill's left leg, there was a hangnail, John. I wanted to tell you before he got away. And now the town hall quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Their song is Oh Mama.
Oh, Mary, as pretty as she could be, fell in love with every boy she'd see. Every day when they would pass away, she'd call her mother dear, and hear is what you hear her say.
Mama dear, come over here and see who's looking in my window.
It's the butcher boy and always got a bundle in his hand.
My window.
Daughter, daughter, he's in love, and you're in love, and love is grand.
Hey, Marie, I got a de pork chop. Hey, Marie, I got a de lamb chop. Hey, Marie, hey, Marie, you want to marry me?
The butcher boy, the butcher boy, I want to marry the butcher boy.
Oh, mama, oh, get that man for me. Oh, mama, how happy I will be. Tra-la-la, and cheery-beery-me. Oh, if I'm gonna marry, it's the butcher boy for me.
Hey, Marie, I got the fruitcake. Hey, Marie, I got the cheesecake. Hey, Marie, Marie, you want to marry me, huh?
The baker boy, the baker boy, I want to marry the baker boy.
Oh, mama, oh, get that man for me. Oh, mama, how happy I will be. Tra-la-la, and cheery-beery-me. Oh, if I'm gonna marry, it's the baker boy for me.
Hey, come here with herring. But you don't want herring, but you're giving it back. You know you want to marry, you know?
The fisher boy, the fisher boy, I want to marry the fisher boy.
Poor Mary, she's unhappy as can be. Can't decide just who it's gonna be. Whether the butcher boy, the baker boy, the fisher boy, you see. Oh, if she's gonna marry, she cannot marry three. Mama.
gentlemen, apropos of the times in which we live, may I...
Sorry to interrupt, F.A., but I got a message here from HBZ regarding DDTB for AB.
You've got scrambled alphabetitis. That's what you've got. ABTB. Is my microphone no protection against you buffoons? Why, for two...
Quiet, F.A. Where's AB? Is that you?
I'm Andre Baruch, yes.
Well, HBZ.
Yes, the double-duty toothbrush.
Oh, yes, of course. The brand-new brush with the brand-new twisted handle.
That's right.
Well, tonight is a sort of anniversary for the double-duty toothbrush, ladies and gentlemen, for it's just about a year ago today that it was introduced on this program. The new toothbrush with a scientific twist in the handle that makes it almost effortless to clean your teeth and massage your gums at the same time. And in that short year, the widespread acceptance of this new toothbrush has given every indication that it will be just as widely used as Ipana toothpaste itself. For Ipana's popularity is based on double benefits, too. You see, Ipana not only cleans and brightens your teeth, but when used with massage, helps benefit your gums. And that's mighty important. Because as so many modern dentists say...
When our gums are tender and undernourished, our teeth are seldom sound and sparkling.
That's why we say, every time you brush your teeth with Ipana toothpaste, massage your gums with a little extra Ipana. For with firmer gums, you'll naturally have brighter teeth and a more attractive smile. So buy Ipana toothpaste at your druggist tomorrow and use it. Town Hall tonight continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification.
Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours have just played a snack of Stop Your Breaking My Heart. Now, on Saturday, this is a special meeting, a special notice calling this to your attention. On Saturday, the veterans of Major Bowe's units will meet at the bus terminal from Force of Habit. And they...
Mr. Allen!
Now, quiet.
Mr. Allen!
Now, quiet. If that's the butcher boy, you'll have to meet me later if it... won't upset your plans, anything you had.
Hello.
That's the first time I ever heard anyone get seven syllables out of hello. You've done something dramatically. Well, sir, they laughed when I said I had only missed graduating by a whisker. They didn't know I'd been flunked out of Barber's College. I know there are people in here. Sometimes I just look around to make sure, you know. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, I'm shopping around for a picture, so I thought I'd stop in.
Well, there are a lot of good pictures around, staving off bingo. Have you seen Yellow Jack?
No, what is it about?
Well, I don't know, but Yellow Jack means Chinese money. It's probably something about banking. You know, Lloyd's of Hong Kong with Tyrone Kai-shek or something like that.
Maybe I'll see that French picture, Generals Without Buttons.
Generals Without Buttons?
Yes, it got 4 stars.
4 stars won't help. Generals Without Buttons need suspenders. 4 stars won't do them a bit
of good. Hello, Portland.
Oh, hello, Andre. Did you have a good time over the holiday?
Oh, not so good, Portland. I started over to see the World's Fair, but I got lost. I spent the whole day on the Triborough Bridge.
Well, you had a nice day for it. I spent the whole day on the Five Suit Bridge. It's just a... Did I... I never get lost going over to the World's Fair. I never have any trouble getting over there.
How do you get over there, Mr. Allen?
Well, I'll tell you. The quickest way to get to the World's Fair these days, you go down and wait outside of the Empire State Building. And when Grover Whalen comes out, just follow him.
Hi, kiddies.
Hello, Peter.
Well, will you put that fright wig down? You take my... You know what's making your hair stand up? It just got wind of what's going on inside your skull there. It's got your hair. Your hair's getting frightened to be hanging around there on top.
Hi, kiddies, eh? Old Uncle Dombeat. Well, how is the old master of discord tonight?
Say, what's the big idea? You trying to make me a nitwit?
Well, don't tell me there's more work to be done.
If that's comedy.
Well, I think it's comedy. What is your idea of a comedian, may I ask?
Noah was the greatest comedian the world has ever known.
Noah.
Yeah, you'll never be as funny as Noah.
Was Noah a wit, Peter?
Was he? Why, the two hyenas got off the ark laughing, and hyenas have been laughing ever since.
Well, why shouldn't Noah be funny? Anything's funny at a ship's concert. Gee, if I was on the ark...
You have a good time with...
Don't let me interrupt with any straight lines, any interfere with any straight lines that are going on.
I'm sorry, Fred, but I still insist.
Maybe the straight lines will get laughs. Try one of those.
Did you have a good time over the holiday, Pete?
That's it.
Oh, boy. I bought 6 boxes of crayon and spent the day in the subway.
With 6 boxes of crayon?
You bet. Did I draw mustaches on those ads?
Oh.
Some fun.
Some fun. Some fun.
Did you draw only mustaches, Peter?
Well, maybe a few Van Dykes. But at 72nd Street, I went haywire and drew a toupee on Mr. Sloan of Sloan's Liniment.
Say, he can use it after all these years, too. The next thing, they'll catch you up in the art museum trying to put a goatee on the Mona Lisa. Of all the outdoor pastimes.
I can't wait for the 4th of July.
What's doing on the 4th, Peter?
Well, if it's a nice day, I'm going out in the road after billboards. Big stuff with paint.
Big stuff with paint, huh? Come in.
Right this way, Madame Flatteau. Here's a microphone.
Oh, merci.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What is this? A floating, sustaining program? What are you...
No. Look, I'm a staff announcer.
Yeah?
I was announcing Madame Flatteau's program in the next studio.
Oui, je chante.
Yeah, and something terrible happened.
Oui, terrible. Quel chagrin. Quel shame. Quel
happened.
Madame was singing a French lullaby. Give me a little bird.
Oui, oui.
Asking for it, eh?
Donnez-moi un petit oiseau.
A little bird? Why, do you know at the rate of exchange that could turn out to be quite a sound over here?
Please.
Well, what caused the excitement?
Well, just before Madame finished, she was cut off the air.
Oui.
And Madame wants to finish her song in here?
Oui,
you don't
oui.
mind, you don't mind, do you? It's only 2 notes.
Oh, no, now, wait a minute.
Thank you. Prepare, Madame.
Oui.
Those were the 2 notes with the hyphen thrown in there.
Yes, thank you so much.
Oui, merci, merci, au revoir.
Everybody runs in here. I ought to turn this program in for a used pogo stick or something.
Things have certainly been happening since Harry Von Zell went away.
Oh, since Harry's gone. Who is this? Stay out.
How?
Gosh, it's an Indian, Mr. Allen.
An Indian? Well, maybe he dropped in to finish a couple of grunts they cut off on Renfrew of the Mounted last night.
Ugh. Mow. Hun. Bow. Wow.
Well, that's the first wow we've had on the program all night. Took an Indian to do it.
Oogie, oogie, wow, wow.
Maybe he's an old song plugger, Mr. Allen.
No. Even the Indians have stopped plugging oogie, oogie, wow, wow. Now, look, Chief, I don't know what's on your mind.
How? Ugh.
No, understand. Understand?
Von Zell.
Von Zell?
Oh, he must mean Harry Von Zell, Mr. Allen.
Say, that's right. Harry was going back into the woods. He's probably sent us a message by this Indian.
What did Harry say, Chief?
Ugh, bow, whoop, lug.
Say, from the sound of this message, Harry's got indigestion.
How?
How? Who knows? Probably eating a cinnamon bear that wasn't properly seasoned.
Gosh, how can we send a message to Harry?
Why, I'll speak to the chief.
Can you talk Indian, Mr. Allen?
Why, I lived at the Algonquin Hotel for 2 years. Got around the lobby with no trouble at all there. Now listen.
How?
How?
Von Zell. Ooga dooga doo. Understand?
Hmm. Shall I tell him?
Yes.
Okay.
I wonder what tribe he belongs to.
Well, that dialect sounded like a Mohawk with the accent on the mo. Come in.
We are in, Bud. Okay, Rooney.
Right, Chief.
Chief, what is this, another Indian visit?
We're from the Department of Internal Revenue, Alan.
Not
Radio
again.
Division.
Now, don't tell me somebody's thought up another tax.
Right, there's a new tax going on comedians starting today.
Yeah, a laughing tax.
You're going to tax laughs?
That's it. Every laugh you comedians get, you're going to pay a tax.
And the bigger the laugh, the bigger the tax.
Well, who decides what sort of laughs I'm getting?
Rooney here's the judge.
Right, sir.
Now, if I go...
That's 50 cents.
It's worth it. It's really worth it.
If I go... That's a buck.
I see.
But, brother, when I give out like this...
That's going to cost you plenty.
Well, I've never had a joke that funny.
Rooney will decide that. Let's hear your first joke, Alan.
All right. So how is your uncle after his operation, Portland?
He's having a lot of trouble.
Really?
Yes. Somebody put glue in the transfusion.
Glue in his transfusion?
Yes, and every time he sits down, he sticks to things.
Okay, Rooney, what's the tax?
I don't get it, Chief.
Okay, Alan, our mistake. The government owes you $2.
At long last.
Okay. Now, what's your next joke?
This'll kill you. Portland.
Tally ho!
And now for their second song, ladies and gentlemen, the Merrimacks have chosen Pop Goes the Weasel.
All around the chimney top, the monkey chased the weasel. The monkey thought 'twas all in fun. Pop goes the weasel. I've no time to wait or sigh, no patience to wait till by and by. Kiss me quick, I'm off, goodbye. Pop goes the weasel. All around the chimney top, the monkey chased the weasel. Oh, weasel. Monkey laughed and laughed and laughed and thought 'twas all in fun. Oh, weasel. I've no time to wait or sigh, no time to wait till by and by. Kiss me quick, I'm off, goodbye. Pop goes the weasel. Chimney top, the monkey chased the weasel. Monkey thought 'twas all in fun, so pop, pop goes the weasel. I've no time to wait or sigh, no time to wait till by and by. Kiss me quick, I'm off, goodbye, pop goes the weasel. Pop, pop, pop goes the weasel. Pop, pop, pop goes the weasel. Pop goes the weasel.
A little while ago, ladies and gentlemen, we introduced a person whom you didn't expect to meet. At this point in tonight's program, we feel it's only fair to even things up by presenting a person you did expect to meet. For he has something to say that will pay you well to remember, Andre Baruch.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've never felt headachy or sluggish or logy and never expect to feel that way, then you won't be a bit interested in what I have to say. But if there are times when you feel out of sorts or under the weather and the need for a laxative is indicated, then you'll be mighty glad to know how quickly Sal Hepatica helps you feel your best again. Just remember this. If you take something with a laxative action only, you will be doing nothing to help counteract gastric acidity. So it may be some time before you feel like yourself again. But when you drink a sparkling glass of Sal Hepatica, you're getting double help. Because as so many people know, and as so many physicians will tell you,
as a laxative, Sal Hepatica brings you speedy relief. As an antacid, Sal Hepatica counteracts gastric acidity. And naturally, these two actions give you a quick comeback.
So buy a bottle of Sal Hepatica at your nearest drugstore tomorrow. Take it whenever you need a laxative. See how soon your head is clearer, your pep is back, and how fast you're on your toes again, thanks to the double help of Sal Hepatica. Thank you.
fall in love, says my heart. It's romance, take a chance, says my heart. But each time that I'm almost in your arms,
this old school teacher brain of mine keeps ringing in false alarms.
Then my head rules instead and I'm wise to the scheme of that gleam in your eyes. So I kiss and run, but the moment we're apart, oh, you fool, that was love, says my heart.
Evening, our panel of troubadours and the town hall quartet have just completed Says My Heart. And now, ladies and gentlemen, through the courtesy of an open door in the psychopathic ward, we are able to bring you once again the mighty Alan R. players. Tonight, they... Now let us watch ourselves if we only will. Let us not give way at this time. Tonight they present a radio enigma entitled, The Program Was Killing Them, or It's a Wise Vox That Knows Its Own Pop. Over to you, Peter.
And so to the strains of thanks for the memory, we say adieu to the Mickey Finn Mini Singers. This popular choral group is brought to you through the courtesy of Bonsoir Distillers, makers of fine old Mickeys since 1900. Be sure your Mickey Finn is dated. And now the Bonsoir Distillers bid you bonsoir.
This is station F-O-O-F, New York. Finnegan's Fly Swatters bring you the correct time. When you hear the fly swatted, it will be exactly 9:46 p.m.
Gotcha, you dirty little...
9:46 p.m. Finnegan's fly swatter time. Fly time is Finnegan time, folks. Swat your flies the Finnegan way.
And now, the Vox Flop program. Every week, our roving announcers, Sparks Thompson and Jolly Gutterworth, take their microphone to some busy spot to interview the man in the street. Tonight, they take you to the lobby of the Giltmore Hotel on Park Avenue, where Sparks and Jolly are ready to quiz the passers-by. Take it away, Giltmore!
Hello, Soaks. This is Ambrose Moose.
Say, wait a minute. Is this the Giltmore Hotel?
This is the Bowery Plaza, bud. How about a dime for a cup of coffee?
Sorry, folks. Due to circumstances over which we have no control, the engineer gave us the wrong hotel. But here we go to Sparks and Jolly. Take it away, Giltmore!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jolly Gutterworth, and here we are in the lobby of the Giltmore Hotel. Sparks is out there in the crowd, bringing our first guest up to the microphone. Ready, Sparks?
No, not yet, Jolly.
Yes, sir, folks. We're right here in the lobby of the Giltmore Hotel, bringing you the man in the street. Fun, unrehearsed, natural fun, folks. Sparks is out there getting offers. Ready, Sparks?
No, Jolly. Nobody wants to come up.
That's Sparks clowning, folks. Yes, sir, clowning direct from the lobby of the Giltmore Hotel.
Hey, what's going on here?
Well, here's our first guest. Your name, sir?
I'm the house detective. What's this crowd doing in the lobby?
Well, this is the Vox Flop program, officer.
Are you registered in the hotel?
Well, no, we're just questioning the guests here in the lobby.
Yeah, well, don't let me catch you sneaking upstairs or out you go.
Yes, sir, we're having a lot of fun, folks. Sparks is out there. Ready, Sparks?
Okay, Jolly, here's our first guest.
Hey, take your hands out of my column.
Well, sir, what is your name?
Lancelot Dobb.
And where are you from, Mr. Dobb?
Flushing. You want to make something out of it?
No, they're making something out of Flushing without any help from me. What is your occupation, Mr. Dobb?
Well, sir, I'm an oculist with a glass company.
An oculist with a...
I test glass eyes for astigmatism.
Oh, you, you undot your eyes, eh? Now, Mr. Dobb, You've heard the Vox Flop program on the air, of course.
I got enough troubles without listening to the radio.
Well, this give and take comes to you only on the Vox Flop program, folks.
Say, what are you laughing at, mister?
I often wonder. Well, here's our first question, Mr. Dobb. Who said, mind you, pay strict attention. Are you watching me, Mr. Dobb?
Yes, sir.
Who said, a horse, my kingdom for a horse.
A horse, my kingdom for a horse.
Yeah?
The guy who owns Sea Biscuit?
No.
Paul Revere?
No, and thank you, Mr. Dobb.
Yeah, wait a minute. Who did say a horse?
Thank you very much, and here's your free sample of our sponsor's product, Four Dice's Toothpaste.
Wait a minute. Who said a horse?
We only ask the questions, Mr. Dobb. We don't answer them.
Well, how do you like that?
Take it away, Sparks.
There's nobody here. Take it away, Johnny.
We're still here in the lobby of the old Giltmore Hotel. Here we are, your next lady.
Why, you loving gigolo.
Why, but madam.
Scram, bum.
Take it away, Sparks.
Coming right back at you, Jolly.
I've got it back again, folks. Now, who's next?
I'm next. This is Bagby Snipe, folks. This program is unfair.
Now, just a minute. I resent your attitude.
Give me that microphone. It's unfair.
Take it away, Sparks.
Okay, Jolly. Come on.
Hey, let me go. This program's unfair.
This is Jolly Gutterworth. This excitement is coming to you from the lobby of the Giltmore Hotel, folks. Now, who's next?
Here's a little lady, Jolly.
Okay, Sparks. Your name is?
Tilly Grubman.
Married?
No, I can't get no cooperation. Calling all bachelors. Just a minute.
This isn't the Lonely Hearts program, Miss...
Grubman.
Grubman?
Yeah, Grubman. It ain't so bad once you get used to it.
Are you stopping here at the Giltmore Hotel on a do-bill, perhaps?
No, I had a date here with a guy Monday night.
Monday night? Well, this is Wednesday.
Yeah, and if he don't show up by Friday, I'm leaving him flat.
Well, that's the spirit.
Nobody's trifling with Tilly Grubman.
That's too bad.
You're telling me?
Now, here's a lonely girl, folks.
Oh, can the sob stuff, mister. Give me me toothpick.
No, you don't get your Four Dice's toothpicks until I ask you a question. Now, will you?
Will I? Oh, this is so sudden, honey.
Now, go away, Bates. Don't forget, folks, this is your old Vox Flopper. Now, who's next?
I'm next. This baby snipe, folks. This problem's unfair.
Are you back here again?
Yeah, I got a message.
Fox. Okay, Jolly, come on.
Hey, let me go. You ain't getting away with this. It's unfair.
Unrehearsed fun, folks. Coming to you from the lobby of the Giltmore Hotel. Now, here's a gentleman.
Hey, Jolly, it's time for a commercial.
Oh, that's right. Ha, 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 folks. Try Four Dice's Tasty Tip Toothpicks. The toothpick with the mint-coated end. Sanitize your molars and enjoy an after-dinner mint at the same time.
And remember, folks, Four Dice's toothpicks come in six delicious flavors. Strawberry, raspberry, orange, lemon, lime, and mahogany.
Thank you, Sparks. And now, coming through the crowd, our next guest.
Right here. This program's unfair.
Not you. I told you to keep away from here, didn't I? Now beat it.
Well, I'll be back. This program's unfair.
Is our next guest ready, Sparks?
Why, yes, it's this charming lady, Jolly.
Well, young lady.
It's Gussie Flint, folks. My husband, Casper Flint, left me May 4th. Anybody knowing the whereabouts?
Now, see here, madam.
Casper's got a bald spot and a mole in his lip, folks.
Now, here, you cannot do this.
I'm doing it, ain't I?
You are, but you...
Casper and sister, hey,
you are violating the law, madam. You cannot send a message to another person over the radio.
Your time's getting short, Jolly. You'd better ask Mrs. Flint a question.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Flint.
Yeah?
Now, you didn't mean it that way, did you? Now, if someone, Mrs. Flint, let us control ourselves, Mrs. Oh, I know you want to burst out, Mrs. Flint, but let us hold in if we will, Mrs. Flint. Now, Mrs. Flint, if someone gave you... Now, Mrs. F. If someone gave you a centipede, would you put it in your bookcase? Would you use it for a table cover? Or would you ride it?
I'd hit you over the head with it, you bum.
Oh, now. Say, get some water, Sparks. She's fainted.
Wait a minute. I'll feel a pulse.
Is she all right?
She's dead.
Dead? Ha, 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 ha. Well, that's life. Here today and
gone. We've got to do something.
Right, I'll keep it going. I'll interview our next guest.
We can't waste our sponsor's time.
You're right there, Sparks. Anybody at all now? Your name, sir?
Bolivar Dulce.
Bolivar Dulce? What is your occupation, Mr. Dulce?
I'm a pig appler.
A pig appler? You are a part-time swing dancer?
No, no, no. I'm a pig appler. I work in a French restaurant stuffing the apples into the roast pig's mouth.
Oh, I see. You're a pig appler. You gag the sizzling swine with the succulent Baldwin, we might say.
What? That's some tasty dish, mister, you know.
Oh. Well, well. What happened, Sparks?
He's dead, Jolly.
Dead? Well, he had a good laugh before he died. He can't have it all for that. But two deaths on the program, why, people will think they're hearing gangbusters. Confidentially, this is the Vox Flop program, folks.
This is guest.
Now, see here, what is this?
Now, here's a guest. Your name,
I'm
sir?
I'm Mr. Gribble, manager of the Gilmore Hotel. You'll have to get these bodies out of the lobby.
Well, what can we do with them? We can't kick them around, you know. They just won't
disappear. Sit them up in chairs. The lobby will look cleaner when the police get here.
The police?
Yes, I've sent for my house detective. Oh, here he is now. Oh, Clancy?
Yes, Mr. Gribble.
These bodies have got to go.
What's going on here, you guys?
Well, I was merely interviewing these two people.
Yes, and they both dropped dead.
It must have been angina pectoris, officer.
Oh, an Italian, eh? Which way did he go?
Jolly means heart failure, officer.
Oh, yeah, let me examine the bodies. What are them bullet holes?
Bullet holes? Where?
Right here in back of their heads.
Why, no shots were fired.
There's something uncanny going on here.
Well, what are you going to do, officer?
I'm
going to
reenact the crime. Now, go ahead, interview somebody.
Okay, now, who's next?
Not me!
I ain't getting bumped off.
Say, nobody wants to be interviewed, Jolly.
Well, I want to be interviewed. You know me.
Are you here again?
You bet I'm here, and I'm telling you it's unfair.
You get away from this microphone. Oh, just missed me.
Where did that shot come from?
Right there.
It's that pest who's been butting in here.
Grab him, officer.
I got him. Come here, you.
Now, let me go. I didn't do nothing, officer. It's unfair.
Yeah, what's that smoking revolver doing in your hand?
Who put that there? It's a frame-up.
This alibi is coming to you through the courtesy of Four Dice's toothpicks, folks. This is still the Vox Flop program.
Give me back my gun.
Your gun, eh? So you did fire them shots.
Yes. Yes, I fired the shots. I killed those people.
But why?
Because it's unfair.
What's unfair?
These audience participation programs is unfair. They ruined me, I'll ruin them. I'd have got away if my silencer hadn't slipped.
Now, see here, Mayhemmer. What have you got against audience participation?
I'm a radio actor. I made a good living till these shows come in. Sloppy Lobby, Major Blows, We the Feeble. Who's coming to the microphone now? Actors? No. Plumbers, street cleaners. A radio actor can't get a job. It's unfair. That's what is unfair.
Well, you're under arrest, Bud. You'll have to take your medicine.
Will I go to Sing Sing, officer?
No. You're a radio actor. You're going to get 20 years in Warden Law's program.
It's unfair. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before we pass out a few samples of next week's show, we would like you to know how much we appreciate your two-way loyalty, both to us and to the products we tell you about. Thank you for inviting us into your homes regularly, and thank you for buying and using Ipana and Sal Hepatica, for that is what makes all of our Wednesdays together possible.
So remember, Ipana toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica.
Thank you, Andre. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, next Wednesday evening, Town Hall tonight brings you comedy. Drama.
You beast, knocking down Whistler's mother.
That's my business, lady. I'm an auctioneer.
People you didn't expect to meet.
A man who makes artificial flies. He's fooled a million trout. Don't be a poor fish. Tuna in.
And music. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.